I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And into the second episode of 2020 sees us set up in central London at the W Series HQ with CEO Catherine Bond-Muir. After the inaugural season of the series, did I get it wrong again?
Yes.
Fuck's sake!
Catherine Bond-Muir.
Hello and welcome to the Motor Mouth Podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Silvey. And the second episode of 2020 sees us set up in central London at the W Series HQ with CEO Catherine Bond-Muir. After the inaugural season of the series, we sat down with Catherine to chat all about her life and career. Be warned, she loves a glass of wine, a swear word, and a dodgy French accent. Perfect for us. We hope you enjoy, and don't forget to like and subscribe. Just search for the Motor Mouth Podcast on your favourite podcast platform, where you can also leave us a review. And don't forget to download the Motor Mouth app as well, where you can get live race times, exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy.
So welcome to the 12th episode of the Motor Mouth Podcast and the second show of 2020. Alongside me, as always, is Mr. Harry Benjamin. How are you, old boy?
Hello, I'm very well. Nice to be back for yet another podcast.
What you been doing with yourself?
Living life with glasses, yes. For the first time, which has been great because I can see finally.
Helps.
I've actually had a bit of a nightmare with my car. I had a flat tire. Had to be saved by the art.
Yeah, it was a whole palaver. Social media.
It was a slight. In racing terms, it was a slow puncture, so it didn't get me at first. Luckily, I was in a car park when it happened and not stranded on the side of the road.
Good.
So it was all right.
Did you have mechanics to call on?
Nissan support, does that count?
Counts, I suppose.
What about you?
Not too much. I was down at McLaren the other day at the MTC, which was nice, doing the day job.
Yes.
In inverted
indeed
doodars. I'm off to Saudi again.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, a bit of WWE action.
Ooh,
bit of wrestling.
Versatile.
So it's all go. But listen, enough of that. Let's get on with the show. Oh, but before we do...
We've got a competition.
We do have a competition.
We have. Because today's theme, I suppose, and the last theme, really, mini-series we're calling it, is W Series theme. And we have, it's courtesy of Kate Gray at W Series, we have a W Series cap to give away across our Motormouth socials. All the details are going to be on that, on how you can enter. So make sure you follow us across Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just search Motormouth and you can find out how you can win yourself a W Series cap.
And not only that, Kate says pulled out all the stops and is going to get a bunch of the drivers to sign it for us.
Oh,
at the first round. So details will come of that very soon.
Exciting.
So, as Harry says, we're keeping the female theme going and the continuation of our sort of accidental W Series mini-series following our chat with Abby Eaton. So today we're joined by Catherine Bond-Muir. I hope I've pronounced the Muir part right. We'll soon find out. The all-conquering and trailblazing CEO of the female-only racing championship, the W Series. Catherine, a former intellectual property solicitor with a sporting slant who was instrumental in the sale of Chelsea Football Club to Roman Abramovich and the purchase of Aston Villa by Randy Lerner, went on to move in corporate finance circles. She hatched the W Series plan back in 2016 from her dining room table after the birth of her son, Hamish. And she's now heading the series into its second year after its debut in 2019, where young Brit Jamie Chadwick, who I take the credit for because I used to manage her, Jamie Chadwick took the spoils in the first year and is looking to repeat that and get some super license points this time around. It's time to unpack Catherine's career, opinions, thoughts, and plans. So with that said, we're honoured to have her. A huge Motormouth welcome to Catherine Von Muehr.
Cue applause. You can't hear that, but it's the live studio audience follow us around everywhere.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, it's a busy time of year. No one told me that in the off-season you work a lot harder than you do when you're actually racing.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not a motorsport person, so this is theoretically the first off-season I've ever had.
Yes, very true. So what have you been doing filling your time?
Trying to figure out what's going to happen in 2020, yeah. But we're already planning for 2021. You know, it's just where, you know, and how we're going to race in the rest of the world in 2021. So before you ask, I have no idea.
I have no idea what I'm doing tomorrow. And journalists will
ask me for the next year until we announce, but you know, we're just having conversations and trying to figure it out.
Fab. Well, listen, before we go into detail about the W Series, we'll cover that later on, obviously. Let's take it back a little bit about you. So tell us, where was home? Where did you grow up? What was life like as a child? And were there any hints at that point that you could end up one day running a motorsport series?
I was born on a farm in Warwickshire. I went to school in Warwick. I have... three siblings. I'm the youngest of four. I still call myself the baby. I used to get very upset about that when I was young. Now, at my tender age of 52, I'm delighted at that. And I'm, as I said, the youngest of four, but there are only 4 years, 4 months between the four of us. So,
right.
And no twins. So every year my mother had another child. So it makes two interesting Christmases
even now. Busy. So,
yes, busy. And we're, none of us are short of an opinion either.
So it's a noisy Christmas.
Yes, it's very noisy, yes.
And is home still up in Warwickshire on the farm, or have people sort of dispersed and gone into other parts of the world?
Well, my father died last year.
Oh.
My mother is still there, but unfortunately she's got Alzheimer's, so that presents, you know, real issues on a daily life. You know, I had Hamish when I was relatively very old, so I was 45 when I had Hamish. So it just makes for, you know, interesting life. You know, you're, you know, bringing up this child very late in life, but because I'm so old, I've got, you know, a mother with Alzheimer's, you know, and I had a father who was very ill at the end of his life. And at that point, you know, W Series was being developed too. So I can remember in the dark days of the development of it, I really did feel as though I was being pulled in every single direction.
That must have been tough to manage, you know, not only the W Series, which is a, you know, more than a full-time job with all the travel, etc., and everything going on at home. It must have been quite a difficult juggling act for you.
Yes, it is, but I think it's a juggling act that women make. You know, lots and lots of women who are working full-time, you know, are dealing with the children, and, you know, increasingly as women get older are dealing with aging parents and all of that entails.
Yeah, absolutely. And a hat tip to my wife who does a sterling job. She's got her own business. She's a wedding planner. She's got a business called White Button Weddings. Plug. So if anyone's getting married, she's your woman. White Button Weddings on across all the socials. But we've got two kids, another one on the way, and she does an amazing job of keeping the household going, you know, visiting the grandparents and so on. And fair play to, big shout out to all the women out there as we're on the woman theme.
Yes, but also I think it's actually very important to point out that men, I think, are now playing an increasing role in households. I mean, but for my husband, W Series wouldn't exist. You know, he has a very busy working life himself. Yeah, he's a urologist. He's a urological surgeon, and he has in the last, you know, 2-3 years become the main carer of Hamish because obviously the amount of time that I have to spend in the office and the amount of time that it took preparing this was extraordinary. And he was the one who said, you know, when I thought it was all getting too hard, it may not happen, he was the one who really pushed me and said, you've got to continue with this. You know, if it works, you know, it'll be fantastic for you. It'll be, you know, fantastic for women in motorsport. And, you know, he has, you know, put that time in, you know, changed, you know, his operating times to be able to pick Hamish up from school, to be able to, you know, take him into school. I mean, obviously I do it as much as I can, but I think that the way families are progressing now, I think there's been this massive sea change of the difference in roles between the men and women in the home is actually decreasing in many households. And with us, as I say, it is, it's very much 50-50, if not 60-40 towards the man.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I work quite flexible hours and I'm at home a lot. I drop the kids off at school an awful lot, take them swimming in the mornings. And I think more and more businesses as well, even if you're not self-employed, more and more businesses are coming better at having that flexi time and allowing for those kind of things. So that's great to hear. Now, sorry, you were going to say something.
No, I was going to say, it must be brilliant to have that support. But then diving back further, I suppose, back to the beginnings of it, with if we're going on the sport basis, perhaps regardless of what sport it is, whether it's motorsport, football, whatever, it used to be seen as mainly a male-dominated industry, still is to an argument. Was sport always there for you from the very beginning? Were you always sport-inclined, regardless of whether you were going to work in it?
Yeah, I was a massive sports fan from the word go. So I played an awful lot of netball when I was a child. I played for Warwickshire throughout school, and I rode horses. I was, because I lived on a farm, I was lucky enough to always have a pony or a horse. But I loved sport, and I think that love really came from my parents, who, you know, I grew up, you know, watching TV in the 1970s when Grandstand had every single sport going. Yeah. So you could sit down on Saturday afternoon or on Sunday on one channel and watch basically whatever you wanted. And they loved athletics, rugby. My father was a massive Formula One fan, so that's where I got my passion from, Formula One. When I was a schoolgirl, I was a member of Warwickshire County Cricket Club at 14, swapped over, I moved to the dark side. I was a member of Worcestershire, but that was because I was slightly in love with Graham Hick, and then I moved back to Warwickshire again. So I have been, and you know, all my family have been massive sports fans, and I think that has been crucial to W Series, because what we have always wanted to produce is great sport. I mean, I had no interest. I mean, there were a lot of criticisms, obviously, you know, before we announced and before we demonstrated what we could do. But I think that there was this view that we were either patronising women or marginalising women, and nothing could have been further from the truth. Yep. I mean, clearly there was just, that there had been no window for women to shout from the rooftops in motorsport about, you know, this is what we do, this is what we're capable of. And it just struck me that it was important to create this new platform. And as you were discussing with Abby last week, it is about a platform where women can promote themselves, celebrate, you know, being fantastic motor sports drivers, but also most important of all is to show that they are great drivers that can entertain people. Yeah. And that entertainment is all important.
100%. And we saw that when we came to Brands Hatch and watched the racing there. You know, it's close, fast racing. There was nothing half-hearted or slow about it.
You want a show. That's what you want. Absolutely. At the end of the day. You want to be excited by the racing. So let's talk W Series proper. For someone who's diving in completely blind, didn't listen to the last episode of Abby, shame on you, go back and listen to it. But if they don't know about what W Series is, how it works, and how the idea came up for it, could you talk us through that?
Well, it's a single-seater motor racing championship. We're racing in F3 cars. All of the cars are the same. There are no teams, so W Series owns all the cars. And the drivers swap cars, mechanics and engineers every week, and that's to ensure an absolutely level playing field for all of the drivers.
Oh, right. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we are about is demonstrating who the best drivers and the fastest drivers are, and I'm sure we'll talk about who may win or may not win and succeed in it this coming season.
I know, by the way.
Right.
You know.
You think Emma Kimmelainen,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's certainly up there.
The super mum.
Yeah, absolutely. So from my point of view, it would be brilliant if a mother could win. But my prediction is that it's going to be close. I think, you know, the top three are going to be there. Emma obviously was incredibly fast, but only completed half the races.
Right,
so she's going to be able to get lots more points. Alice obviously DNF'd on two races too. And then Marta, I think she's doing what we hear is a huge amount of testing in the off season. Jamie is obviously doing F3 in Asia, so is doing a lot of racing in them. So I think it's people are going to come out of the traps.
It's going to be a good fight.
Early on. And then, of course, we've got the new drivers, and we're not too sure
what'll happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. When you were sat around that dining table back in 2016, when you thought, right, here we go, I've got this idea, you're chatting it through with your husband, did you think then immediately, we've got something here, this is going to work? And did the W Series name come then, or did it come later, and who thought of that?
So I'll answer the second question first, and then you can remind me of the first question, because I'd have forgotten that by the time I've answered the second.
So will I, then we'll be in trouble.
So W Series definitely came from our main shareholder called Sean Wadsworth. We were thinking about calling ourselves a lot of different things. There was a working title of She Championship that I never really liked, but I could never figure out what a good title would be. And it's funny is that he said W Series. To begin with, I thought, well, that's a bit dull and quite generic. But actually, what it's turned into is the brand.
Yeah.
And once it's established and everyone knows it, then I think it's fantastic. I mean, it was so funny is that we were thinking about calling it Formula W, and the designers of our brand had Formula to begin with and then had RW, so looking like that, but the W had to be straight to begin with. And then when we changed that and went to W Series, the W changed around. And, you know, we all got really upset about this awful-looking W. But all it had been is sort of changed around. Yeah. So, and it was so funny is that the things that you look back on, and we were all really uncomfortable. And now, of course, the W's are W, and it looks great. And I've forgotten the first question.
Before I come on to that first question, which I'm going to forget in a minute.
So I think I remember it. Wait, let me write it down.
It's so funny with logos and you know, brand positioning and so on. When you think of the logo swap that they did in Formula One, and you know, the music, intro music for the...
That was uproar, wasn't it?
It's absolutely uproar. Everyone's like, what a rubbish logo. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Who's paid for that? You know, that I could do that in my spare time. Now I look at it, I'm like, God, what did it look like before? Like, this is the F1 logo, and I like it now.
The one thing about the F1 logo is it wasn't until after it changed that I realised on the old logo where the one was in the gap rather than in
That's
the weird...
Right. Yeah,
in the
thing. Oh, yes, now I remember what it looks like.
Yeah. Yes, but in the modern world, you need to have a very simple and distinctive logo for apps and things.
Yeah.
So you can see it. So RW is fantastic for that, and we knew we had to do that. But you had lots of logos put in front of you, and frankly, I mean, I can supposedly read a contract and draft a spreadsheet, but I don't know what works and what doesn't work.
I mean, does anybody really? Who knows how people are going to react? I mean, ours coincidentally works quite well. It's we have the full Motormouth logo, but then we have an M and an M together, sort of overlapping each other, and we put that out there, and everyone's like, oh, it's great. Oh, it's a great idea to create the MM looking like the front wing of an F1 car. It's like, does it?
Oh, does it?
Yes, it does. So we stumbled across that by accident, but it seems to work for us. Anyway, the other part of the question, go on, Harry, because we've all forgotten what it was.
I think this was it. When you first, so you thought the idea, did you think immediately, right, we've got something here, this is going to be big?
Well, it was a couple of people who I know suggested it to me because I was trying to think about what I was going to do for a job. You know, I'd given up work completely. I'd just given up my career because it was, you know, for a bit of time I thought that I may not have a child. So when, you know, Hamish came along, I thought there's nothing more important. I've got no interest in working. And then, you know, moving on, you know, a couple of years, I just got bored and I wanted to do something else. And when someone said, well, what about a women's motor racing series? I thought, oh, that's a fantastic idea. and then
We should point out that the action of drinking a glass of wine just appeared across the table.
This is where we need cameras in the room.
And then I did some research, and then when I thought it would, maybe it was actually not a great idea if men and women can race equally. But then I pursued this for a bit, and I couldn't believe the stats involved in women in motorsport. Is if you looked at the numbers of women in racing in single-seater series throughout the world in the previous 8 years, year on year, the numbers were going down. You know, there was a hiatus at the beginning of Formula E, where there were some women racing there, Alice and Vicky Perrier and Catherine Lake were in GP3. Danica Patrick was in the States. You know, Tatiana was racing. But actually, what was going is that year on year, the numbers who were, you know, obviously there were women racing in isolated races, but not actually doing full series and things. And when I did that work, I think it was only Tatiana Calderon was the only woman who was actually racing a full series of single-seaters. So, you know, at that point, it was actually sort of an inflection point where, you know, in cricket and in rugby and certainly in football across the world, there was massively increasing participation by women. But motorsport was just going in the opposite direction. So that was the moment where I thought, actually, this is going to be controversial. So I always believed it would be, because by definition of doing something like this in motorsport, it was going to be high profile. But I will stand from the top of the tallest building and say, you know, what we were doing, you know, was right, and more importantly, it was just needed to raise the profile of women. And you know, our detractors, if you note, have almost all been women, and actually men in motorsport were incredibly supportive, saying, yes, something has got to be done, something has got to change, because, you know, the situation is poor. And whilst there were lots of efforts that were being made to get more women in motorsport, it just visibly, it just wasn't happening.
Yeah, and it's amazing how over the course of 2019, the narrative changed. And we talked about this a little bit with Abby, and I was guilty of it right at the beginning when I first heard about the concept. I was with Jamie, I think I was managing Jamie at the time, and she won't mind me saying that both of us at the time were a bit like, oh, what, you know, this is just creating segregation, and you're sort of juggling with it in your own mind, thinking, well, they're doing tennis, they're doing other sports. It didn't come into my brain at that point that this is about participation, increasing the pool, you know, giving an opportunity. I just saw it as, oh, well, this is the beginning of women having a completely separate sport than men. But gradually over 2019, my opinion completely changed.
I think yours and a lot of other people's. Yeah.
I don't know what Carmen Jorda's opinion is of it now, but she was, I don't think she was all that.
But well, even Abby said she you know, she publicly said that, you know, she was a bit skeptical of it. Now she's racing in it. It's amazing how much, when you first launched the idea and getting people involved in it, obviously had a lot of support, as you said, but how do you deal with the skeptics? You just got to gloss over that, and until you can prove something, it must be very difficult to justify it all.
Well, I think we were very firm and sure in what our aims were. You know, we spent a huge amount of time, you know, obviously structuring the business and how it was going to work, but everything had to be about the promotion and empowerment of women. Yeah. And I think that's come through. I mean, I think a lot of scepticism has also happened because in previous attempts to do women's series, I think they were criticised because they did undermine women, they tried to make women sexy. Now, we're on the radio here and on a podcast, so you can't see me. I'm not an obvious candidate for, you know,
oh, come on.
Promoting
don't say
women's.
You're wearing those hot pants and high heels, amazing.
Yeah, I wish. I would do if I could.
But you've got a lot of notable names involved as well when we started to set up the business, and I suppose the sort of the backroom staff almost been people like Matt Bishop, Andy Bradshaw, DC is a big supporter as well. How good is it to have them on board and helping, you know, develop this as a series after its inaugural championship?
Yeah, it's absolutely crucial. I mean, I'd known David, you know, 25 years ago, and it was really David Coulthard's input that one cannot underestimate the impact that, that he had on this business. So it was sort of an idea that, that had been developed. You know, I spoke about it with David. You know, he was very supportive, but David did three crucial things. One, he introduced Sean Wadsworth, who became the cornerstone investor and has put a huge amount of business of money into the business. And secondly, he introduced Dave Ryan, who's now our racing director, who is a complete legend in motorsport. Mm. He won't listen to this, so I can be nice about him. I mean, if he was, I wouldn't.
You'd be absolutely slaying him. Yeah.
But, you know, he is, you know, he's another person who has been a pillar of the business, and it wouldn't, you know, the reason why the motorsport is so professional is because he will not accept anything less than perfect. So he spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, the best cars that we were going to have. You know, we scoured the world for what he thought would be produce the, you know, the best sport and would be the right level car for our drivers. And then DC also introduced Matt Bishop, you know, who's former comms director of McLaren. And, you know, Matt has been the person who has really turned W Series volume up across the world and, you know, engaged huge numbers of journalists across the world who have written about us. And then obviously that starts creating ripples and waves and we get more fans and a bigger audience. So, you know, there are a number, you know, this is truly a team effort, and I'm always embarrassed about saying, oh, well, you know, I'm in front of it, because I'm more than aware that it just isn't about me at all. I mean, there can be a kernel of an idea, you know, but I work very closely and side by side with all of these other people that I've mentioned, and we've all worked very hard to make it happen.
And how pleased were you with 2019, not just in terms of the on-track racing, but the coverage, the viewership, you know, the drivers that you had, the skill levels and so on? Was it all you expected it to be? And do you think there's much that can be improved in 2020? Obviously, we can talk about things like the super license points coming in and the extra races and supporting with Formula One. But looking back at 2019, did it go as you hoped it would?
Well, I think I just didn't have that many expectations of what... I mean, because if you're doing something from scratch and you've never done it before, I mean, how can you have expectations? I mean, there were just various milestones that happened throughout the year that, you know, I was fist pumping when, you know, we achieved something and thought, this is a real breakthrough. You know, getting a deal with Channel 4, live on Channel 4, was an absolute fist pumping moment, you know, for the team. So, you know, if you look at broadcast of motorsport in the UK, we were the only live motorsport on the front five channels last year. You know, that, you know, getting that deal when we hadn't raced a race was absolutely extraordinary. And then you go back to, you know, sort of having DC, Matt and Dave Ryan involved. You know, those deals don't happen without those sorts of people being there, because I think they gave it the stamp of credibility. Because let's face it, no one had a clue who Catherine Bonnemure was. And if I had tried to do this on my own, you know, I wouldn't have been able to get it off the ground at all. So what it was absolutely crucial as a business is to get all of these people and get people with this proven track record in motorsport to give it some credibility before we'd actually raced a race. Now, thankfully, we lived up to the expectation that we created for ourselves, and, you know, that's carried through. But another, you know, we were selling TV rights, or selling, you know, sort of doing TV deals rather than selling, before the season started, and we ended up in 340 million homes across the world. You know, if you look at the map of the world, we, you know, we had deals over two-thirds of the landmass of the world. You know, it's things like that were also, you know, crucially important. And you know, when you're trying to think about, you know, when I'm, you know, spent months and months, you know, in a darkened room, I can remember a lot of the time it was winter and you're working on business plans and stuff. And you can't ever imagine in your first year before you start racing, you know, covering that much of the world. Yeah. So
there's some established motorsport series that'd be very jealous of that, I think, in your first year as well. You look at, you know, things like DTM, Formula E, all that.
But what we did, I suppose, was, you know, tap into a zeitgeist and of what was happening to women and women in sport in 2019. And that, frankly, is luck, because that female movement had not started 3 years before. So, you know, everyone needs luck, and that certainly was our luck.
I said there was one of our social followers was asking about coverage in the States. So presumably it can be watched in the States then. It's already on.
We were on NBC, yes, but we weren't live. It was delayed. So I think people in the States got confused by that. So obviously States is a key market for us. So we'll be working very hard to get live races there this year.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, working the markets, things like that, for someone who's coming into it, who's used to seeing, you know, loads of brands and sponsorship slapped on cars and Formula One and touring cars and things like that, you don't have that in W Series, but you alluded to that earlier. So why is there plans for any sponsorship deals on the car, on the helmet, things like that? Or is that the W Series way of, you know, a blanket ban almost?
No, not at all. You know, we have to turn ourselves into a business and our, you know, main income streams going into the future will be from sponsorship, from content and broadcast. And I'm just thinking my other major, and also from promoters, you know, in the way that Formula One and Formula E earn their money. But we did have a view that we didn't want to sell our space for not very much money. So we announced our first sponsor before Christmas, that is Rocket Mobile Phones. They are absolutely unbelievable because they're, and this isn't, but genuinely, they're the most extraordinary phones. Because remember, you know, 20 years ago when it was almost, there was always new technological advances in whatever, in computing or in phones, and everyone was going, my God, look at this. And actually, in the last few years, that stopped. Mm. We haven't really done that. But I had that with my Rocket phone because it's a 3D phone.
Oh.
And you don't need glasses. And so all over Christmas, whichever Christmas parties I was going to, I was showing, I had a new moment of, I can't believe this. And everyone was going, this is extraordinary. So anyway, it turned out to be a good plug. But the quality of the 3D is unbelievable. And it's coming out of a phone.
Oh my God, you've got one here.
Yeah, we've got lots.
We'll have a look later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the burning question, obviously, I alluded to the fact that you get super license points in 2020, 15 points for the winner, is that right?
Yes.
And then it goes down to about seventh place. 40 points needed, I believe, to drive a race in Formula One, practice a little less. How long is it going to be, do you think, before we see a female driver break through and actually race in Formula One, not just do a practice session?
So I think, and you are absolutely right by linking those two things, because I think lots of people don't understand that to get into Formula One or to get into a practice session, you need a certain number of super license points. And similarly in Formula E, there's new rules that you've got to have them to get into Formula E too. And therefore, you know, if you look at someone like Jamie, for example, so sort of theoretically, if she wins here in, if she won with us, then she will go on to another, you know, would she do a winter series, similarly do Asian F3 and try and get super license points thereafter, and then maybe go up and go into international Formula 3?
If she wins it this year, can she do it again the following year?
No, she can't. Yeah. So it's just the one winner can't do the next year. And that is that's the same rule for all FIA feeder series. They are, is that the winner can't go back, because obviously what the FIA want to do is promote the drivers to go, once you've won a series, is you've got to go into other series. So theoretically, you can't just keep coming back for W Series and then by almost default get into Formula One, which of course I would have wanted, but
because it's probably that cycle for you guys is probably going to be a few years, in all honesty, before someone gets, the pool is big enough to bring through a big enough talent that gets the 15 points in W Series, then goes to F3 against everybody, gets another bunch of points there, then goes somewhere. So so for someone like Jamie, she's got to win this, go somewhere else, do really well in another championship in these sort of early days before she gets close to an F1 drive. It's that sort of transitional period, isn't it, I suppose?
And I suppose what it's also doing is, obviously W Series is now widening that pool, and it's also getting noticed by big manufacturer driving academies. You know, you've got, you know, the Red Bull Driver Academy, the Ferrari Driver Academy, and just the recent article, I know you've spoken about it as well, Ferrari are looking for females to add to their driver academy, and not just a marketing capacity to say they got one. They sound like they're genuinely keen on getting one, and surely that has to come from seeing things like W Series beginning to create this big pool.
Without it.
Yeah. And we've got a few... you know, the six new drivers that have been announced, you know, they're young. You know, Irina Sidikova, our Russian driver, still only 16.
Wow.
You know, but she's really impressive. And I was obviously on a high trajectory. You know, she's from Russia, but speaks fluent English. So she's well educated. You know, she has really, really good support. She's with a fantastic team in Russia. So I think for the future, she may be one to watch because she's got financial backing. She's got the wherewithal. She's doing all of the right things. Yeah. And she's young enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, our two Spanish drivers are very young. Our two new Spanish drivers are also very young. I mean, Marta is obviously still very young, but they all do have youth on their side. But there was a comment with Abby, is that maybe the next one is still karting, but maybe the next one could be Irina. I don't know. But I think, as you say, it is going to be... I mean, I love more than anything for Jamie to be the first driver. But... you know, maybe these young academies, you know, Ferrari and Red Bull, what they will be doing is looking at the 15 and 16 year olds and pick them up at that point, and then they'll have a very different easier trajectory.
Yeah, for sure. And with Jamie, though, I mean, regardless of what happens from here on in, whether she makes it to F1 or not, she's already made such a difference. I mean, from the days when I was managing her a few years ago to now, she... went at Brands, it took me 10 minutes to get near her just to say hello, because she was absolutely a superstar at those events, surrounded by, we said with Abby, surrounded by those little kids with their little race suits on. It's so nice to see that sort of change in mentality, and not just little girls but boys as well, and you know, dads and whole families.
That was the thing. I mean, and Will Buxton did some brilliant tweets at the evening of that race, saying that it's beautiful, but it's important. You know, he's been going for decades to see motor racing, for motor racing days, and he said he has never seen such a real, genuine family atmosphere. And it was something that we didn't realize. You know, we didn't plan for it. Of course, you say we want to attract families, but actually, they did turn up and turn up in droves. And, you know, I went, you know, into the stands because I just wanted to see who was there. And actually, the majority of people weren't there for DTM. They were there for W Series.
Apart from Harry, who's obsessed with DTM. We keep going
on DTM.
Well, it's brilliant, isn't it?
I think it deserves a bigger platform than it actually gets at the moment. But also, it also works the other way, because actually W Series, the success that it's had, it's probably going to have a bit of an effect on DTM as well, because people are going now to see that, and it may even, you know, turn the tide, the different forms of racing, obviously. But overall, I think it, as well as the male-female divide, it gives a positive spin to motorsport as a whole, which I think the last few years has been on a bit of a decline. You know, you look at Formula One, people are saying it's boring, this, that, and that. And Abby actually said you're quite into your Formula One. Is that correct? Are you a bit of a fan?
Well, I've been, as I said, from early 70s, I've been watching, you know, Formula One.
So what are your thoughts on F1 at the moment, coming in, I suppose, from an outside perspective, looking in from the W Series? What do you look in Formula One and go, what are the bits you like? And are you a fan, or are you seeing it as like a business point of view as well?
Well, obviously, both. So I've been a lifelong fan of Formula One. I always say one of the reasons why I love Formula One so much is that I love my soap operas. Unfortunately, unfortunately, I don't watch soap operas anymore, which I always loved Coronation Street and EastEnders. And to me, Formula One was like a soap opera. Yeah. You know, sport is about stories and about the individuals and the characters and who's coming and who's going and who's swapping teams and, you know, what are the teams doing and who likes who and who's fighting who. So, I mean, Formula One, I think, had it all. And then it had the excitement of motorsport and racing to cap it off too. So, you know, it is a sport, but it's also, you know, lots and lots more around it, which is why something like Drive to Survive, I think, was received so well, because it did open that up a lot more. And you know, I have heard from lots of people is that they started to watch Formula One just on the back of that.
Yeah, the Netflix. Yeah, I had friends who had no idea. They weren't interested in motorsport in the slightest. And then they were messaging me about, have you seen Drive to Survive on
Netflix?
Brilliant
series.
I love, like, I'm a big fan of Daniel Ricciardo now. I was like, you didn't know who he was about a minute ago. Like, it's incredible what
And you get to watch Lance Stroll being the sort of petulant teenager.
Well, that's Formula One for you now.
I love it. Isn't it? I love that guy. And on the subject of Formula One, nice segue. You're obviously supporting a couple of Formula One races in 2020 in the United States and Mexico. An amazing opportunity for the W Series. So how did that come about? What a great thing.
Well, we've been speaking to them for quite a long time. Understandably, they were reticent about us being involved in the first season, because how could you do a deal when we say, yes, this is what we're going to do, and of course we're going to be great. And, you know, quite rightfully, lots of people, and, you know, including sponsors, sort of, you know, I think have watched us to see how we performed. And, you know, they called us up again, many months ago and said, would you be interested or still be interested? Because we were, you know, trying to knock their door down to race with them. And we said, yes, we'd be delighted. But I think, you know, we've chosen a couple of real iconic races. And I think just finishing, having our final race of the state of our year, going through that stadium in Mexico City.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it makes the hair on the back of my neck just stand on end. I just hope there are some people sitting there whilst we're racing. So, but it's a fantastic opportunity for us. You know, Formula One have been, you know, really fantastic and truly brilliant and, you know, very embracing of us, you know, and, you know, quite rightfully too, because they see, and, you know, if you see in the press announcement, Ross Brawn's, you know, announced, you know, his quote was very much, we do want women in Formula One.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't get it overnight. And as we've just discussed, and it's a process. And I think, you know, us being on their undercard, they demonstrate that they are being supportive of women.
Just taking the businesswoman away and, you know, strip it back. And if you think now, and you're going into 2020, second year of a hugely successful series that's sort of changed everyone's opinion about female participation in motorsport and inclusion, do you have moments just as a woman in business and in motorsport where you sit there and just think, what the hell has happened? Like, what an achievement I've made here. Do you ever just sort of sit back and take stock and have time to think, I've actually really changed the course of motorsport history?
No.
Well, you should.
No. And it is, because one is that we are not arrogant here, and we never will be arrogant. And we are always striving to be better. So I think if you do stop and you go, gosh, look at what we've achieved, aren't we great? I think it stops making you sharp. I think that I will have those moments and thoughts when, for whatever reason, I leave W Series, obviously through age, probably. But, you know, and I will, when it all stops for me, and hopefully I can look on this extraordinary series, you know, just getting bigger and better, and then I can look back and say that was fantastic, and I can be self-congratulatory at that stage, but not at all now. There are always, you know, so it always feels as though when you get to the top of the mountain, you know, it's like, you know, getting a Channel 4 deal, you know, you get to the top and then you can see the mountain range in front of you. So there's always so much more to achieve and so much more to do that certainly no complacency will come in at all.
Is the long-term success for W Series the fact it should no longer exist anymore? Is that the ultimate
goal? Good question.
Yeah, I think theoretically, I think it's got to be, but I think, you know, I've gone onto the board of Motorsport UK, and only 5% of license holders in the UK are women.
Wow.
So there's such a long journey to go through. You know, That number is not going to be, I'm not even saying 50-50, that's not going to be 70-30 in the next few years. So theoretically, if we're successful, we should do ourselves out of a job. But I think it's going to take a long time to get there.
Yeah. Wow, amazing. Now, listen, I know you were looking forward to this particular segment.
So this is Motormouth. The second series of it, I suppose. Adam Christodoulou stormed to the top step of the podium last time out. And Abby Eaton so far sits at the top with 4 points. So you...
3.5 points.
Oh, is it 3.5? Oh, God. Oh, she's written that down.
She's on it.
She remembers that, right.
Well, before we started this, you were like, I'm not competitive about this sort of thing at all. She's memorised the bloody points.
3.5 points for Abby. So you've got 3.5 to beat. Now, I've got... four clips on my little buttons here. Most of them are to do with Formula One, because we've heard you like your Formula One. And you know how it works. Bit of team radio clip. All you need to tell me is who it is, the rough context of it, and where you think they are. And you get you get 1 point for each. Okay, so shall we dive in with number one?
Yeah.
You ready? Here we go.
So currently all Marshall posts are not reporting rain.
The Marshalls must be having a beer then.
It's quite a hard one.
That's a really hard one.
Is that Bottas?
No, it's Carlos Sainz.
That's hard.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That was a hard one.
That was a hard one. Well, you told me I was too easy last
time. Which Grand Prix was that?
So that was at the Hungarian Grand Prix.
2019.
2019. And they're all from 2019. It was raining on track, but the marshals weren't feeling the rain, so they weren't out giving any flags or anything like that. And he said, oh, they must be off having a beer then.
I didn't even watch that Grand Prix.
Call yourself an F1 fan.
Right, well, okay, let's see if you can redeem yourself with number two.
What's up, you idiot? I hit the bit completely.
Do you want it again?
Do you want a clue?
The other one. Yeah.
So, Raikkonen.
Well done. That's one point. So I'll give you that. That's Raikkonen. And any clue as to where that might be? What's happened? There's a lot of swearing going on in that one, isn't there?
I can't remember the incident. I'm so...
No. Don't worry. You got one for Raikkonen.
I've got 3.5 points for that, yeah. I think.
So that was Raikkonen at first corner of Spa when Verstappen just went straight to the side of him. Okay, number three. Oh, have I been really hard this round? Probably have been.
It is pretty hard.
All right, here we go.
How's that?
E5.
Love that.
He's so excited.
Who do we think?
It's got to be Max Verstappen.
No.
Oh.
No.
I thought you were mouthing something else.
No. There's no cheating going on.
There's no cheating going on. No.
We're cheating and still not getting anywhere.
Yeah, I know. That was Kevin.
Leclerc.
No, Kevin Magnussen.
Right. Yeah. Why was he saying yes? Did he do anything?
He qualified P5 in the Haas.
That's a bit of a sad state of affairs, isn't it, when you're celebrating that much for P5 in quali?
Yeah, but for that team, that was good. But it's just a shame in the races that they couldn't finish there.
This next one, if
you don't get this one, then that is a real shame. Okay. So, no pressure. Here we go. Listen hard. Who's saying this and what they're talking about?
Catherine,
the big boss.
The crazy lady. She's awesome.
Tell us more.
You will have so...
That's Abby Eaton.
Hey! Point! The crazy lady.
Yes, we were filmed... We're doing a documentary series that's coming out later on in the year.
Oh, brilliant.
And they did ask our drivers about me, and that word was used.
Was it
a bit too much, perhaps, for your liking? Or
No, at all. Yes, I don't think they described me as being normal or average.
No one wants that anyway. Well, the bad news is you haven't beaten Abby. But it's a respectable 50% of the way. So you've got two out of four there. So you slot in second. A round of applause for that. But there's a long way to go, so that could go either way on that one when we get the overall leader. But thank you for playing Moat Maths. So Abby leads the way with 3.5, and Catherine Bonware on 2.
Good stuff. So we've got a few more just quick fire, slightly more quick fire questions to chuck your way. First of all, it'd be interesting to know your opinion on if there is a young female listening out there right now who might be in karting or, you know, starting to step up into single seasons and so on. What advice could you give to some of the younger generation who are looking to get into motorsport now and see something like the W Series as a potential way in?
Yeah, I think you've just got to get into a kart and go racing. I think there are lots and lots of kart tracks out there. You've got to persuade mum and dad to take you down. You've got to love it. You've got to be fast. You've got to be good at it. And what all of our drivers have got in common is just a real stubbornness for not accepting failure or accepting that it's going to stop. And they work day in, day out to, you know, keep a motor racing career going. You know, it's not easy for anyone. You know, even Abby was talking about money last week. You know, everyone has a fight on their hands consistently. So if you want to succeed, you've got to be a fighter both on and off the track.
Yeah, the off-track stuff is such a big part of things these days, isn't it? What are you rubbish at?
Real highbrow question.
Singing, no.
Oh.
No one is worse than me at singing. And I'm not going to sing.
Oh. Well, we have Tim here has actually, he's quite the singer. He even has an album out.
I actually do. I was 13 or 14 at the time, and no one will ever get out of me what it's called, apart from my mum. And Chloe knows, I think, but no one else.
Oh, you can't talk.
He's a singer as well. He performs in musicals and stuff. There's all sorts of...
That's for another podcast.
Never, ever have I sung one note in tune.
Do you have a favourite artist or a band or anything like that?
I love disco.
Oh,
What about a karaoke tune? Do you ever just bash out a karaoke tune?
No, you wouldn't even go near one?
I couldn't. No, I'd break the microphone.
Not even after a few glasses of wine?
No, because people would leave.
I think we should start a hashtag to this. get Catherine singing.
So do you have any pets, actually?
Well, living on a farm, you must have millions.
Yeah, well, you've grown up with animals, yeah.
Absolutely, and at the moment I have a dog called Trixie, who is a small Jack Russell.
Oh, I love Jack Russells.
She gets into bed with me every morning, has a cuddle. It's fantastic. It's a perfect way to start the day.
Short head.
I should say, obviously, that's the way I would start the day with my husband.
Always with a dog. Now, actually, while I remember, Abby has a dog, and we actually bleeped out of the last podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the name of her dog? That was the question we were going to ask you. Do you know the name of Abby's dog? Apparently, you should. Don't know.
Did she tell us in the end?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Was it Trix?
No.
What is it? It was something. No, because I've got no idea.
Molly.
Oh, yeah.
Molly.
Yeah.
No, but we're big dog fans here. Everyone who works here.
Do you have an office dog?
No, we don't. But I think we're going to have a day, a dog day, where everyone can bring their dogs in.
Yes.
Good idea.
It really improves the work-life balance. So I don't think singing would be one of this, but do you have any hidden talents that perhaps the public aren't aware of?
Absolutely not. Well, no. I mean, I can tell a joke.
Go on then. You can't do that and then not say a joke.
No.
Come on.
I know very few clean jokes, so I...
You can do dirty jokes.
We'll put the explicit mark on this.
I'm certainly not going to do a dirty joke, because my dirty jokes are really dirty.
Pure filth.
So there were three little kittens, and the little kittens were called un, deux, and trois. And un, deux, and trois were very, very naughty little kittens, and their mother said... Under trois, it is very cold outside. There is ice on the lake, but the ice is very thin. Do not go and skate on the lake. But what did I say? Under trois were naughty little kittens. So under trois went and skated on the lake, and the ice broke, and under trois, cat sank.
Hang on.
Now, was that a French accent, or...
It was a brilliant French accent.
To be fair, I thought that was a pretty good accent. It's better than I can do. Do you want to hear my one and only clean joke?
Yeah, go on then.
I've got two, but I'll give you one. Probably the less funny one, but I'll do it anyway. There were two fish in a tank. One turned to the other and said, "How do you drive this thing?" Catherine thought it was funny.
Can we move on swiftly, please?
Moving on. let's talk heroes. Do you have a hero? Who is your hero? It doesn't have to be racing related. Could be family. Could be something else entirely.
My most racing hero was James Hunt.
Yeah.
He was just a fantastic character. And I suppose my sporting hero is probably Ed Moses.
Okay, cool.
He was just the most... At the time, he was the greatest Olympian.
Yeah.
He was unbeaten for 10 years. And I actually met him on my way... I was in the same transport as him going up to a ball at Silverstone, a Formula One ball, many, many years ago at Stowe School. And it is the only time in my life where I went mute.
Yeah.
Couldn't speak.
Starstruck.
I was in awe. Yes, really? Absolutely starstruck, yeah.
Wow. Right, we've got four final questions. We fire these same questions to all our guests.
Yep.
See how different their answers are. Harry, do you want to go with the first one?
Absolutely. So what's got you excited at the moment?
New races in 2021.
Good answer.
Yeah.
If not being the big boss and the trailblazer at W Series, what would you be doing?
I've absolutely no idea at all, because I thought one of the things, reasons why I set W Series up is that I thought I was probably broadly unemployable, because the idea of taking orders from a 25-year-old wouldn't have happened, so I don't know.
How much of your success is about luck and right time, and how much is it about hard work?
It is 90% hard work, but you cannot discount the importance of that 10% of the luck, of being there at the right time. And I think we came out at absolutely the right year when, you know, women in sport and that subject, you know, went onto everyone's agenda.
I always love the answer to that question, because everyone broadly agrees on that, and I think it's really insightful.
Final one, Catherine Bonmuir, what are you scared of?
Rats.
We've not had rats.
I'm absolutely phobic about rats. But in W Series, I know what I am scared of, and that is injury. So we spend a huge amount of time, you know, obviously making sure that, you know, we are as safe as possible and have everything in place to deal with any crash or accident. But, you know, the drivers, I feel a very strong personal attachment to them now, so I would be devastated if any of them were injured.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for all of that. Thank you for hosting us at your beautiful offices.
Yeah, lovely.
It's a lovely place. And thank you for joining us for the second episode of our new series. And I'm sure we will see you at a paddock in the W Series soon. Catherine Bonmuir, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, and thanks so much to Catherine for giving up her time and hosting us at the amazing W Series offices. We'll be back with another episode soon, chatting all about mental health in motorsport. And don't forget, we are giving away a W Series cap, and it's signed as well by some of the top drivers from the W Series. So make sure you keep an eye out across the Motormouth socials for your chance to win that. In the meantime, if you've missed any of the first season or our previous episode with Abby, you can take a hop back in your chosen podcast player and find them all there. And don't forget, there's also loads more content on MMTV and the Motormouth app available to download on any device now. Like, subscribe and review if you feel so inclined. It really helps people to find the podcast. And you can follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's @Motormouth_. Instagram is @Motormouth_official. And on Facebook, just search Motormouth. In the meantime, from myself and Tim, we'll see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.